Good morning, Canberra City Church. So excited to see you. What an awesome time of worship and fellowship. And we are so glad you are able to join us. I believe God is on the move. I believe God is doing something powerful in our nation all around the world. Last year or two, it has been a challenging season for all of us. But how many of you know when there is a setback in our life, in our purpose or whatever, it is a sign that God is about to release a comeback for greater glory. How many of you believe that? Haggai chapter 2:9 says, the latter glory, the coming glory will be greater. So I want to encourage you, whatever setback that we have seen, whether in church, in personal life, I believe God is about to turn it around for His comeback will be much more greater. Amen. How many of you believe that? Receive that. I believe that God wants to encourage you. I pray that God, that you are encouraged, keeping yourself well. Some of us, we don't look the same after year two being in the lockdown. Me and Pastor Derek, we are getting into gym. Once things opening up, we're going to go to gym, and we hope we will look much better, much different than what we came into the lockdown. All right, so I'm going to get into the word. I'm going to minister from Acts chapter 23. If you want to listen more on Acts 23, 24, 25, go back to yesterday's sermon ministered by Brother Elder Richard. So powerful, so insightful. Listen to that. But I'm gonna dive into Acts 23. We've been on a series of Book of Acts last couple of weeks. Next week will be our final grand ending of Book of Acts. We got some great retreats, some great preachers. We're gonna do some tag teams and stuff like that. So watch out for next week. It's gonna be a grand celebration from the Book of Acts. But I want to focus on Acts 23. The main figure in Acts 23, obviously is Paul. Paul's life picks up a story. Paul's life get encounter with the Lord. His ministry is now starting off after spending time with the apostle and so on. Now he's on a full front on the ministry. And we look at Acts 23, come to a place of his life that now the his ministry, his life looks so different, taking a different turn than what he has been. Verse 23, verse 1, let's look at verse 23, Acts 23, verse 1. Paul, looking earnestly at the council, said, "Men and brethren, I have lived in all good conscience before God until today." What a powerful statement. The righteousness of Jesus causes us to have a good, clear conscience. The righteousness of Jesus, when we have a right standing before the Father through the throne of grace, not through the law, we have a right standing and right good conscience because what Jesus have done on the cross. So Paul is talking to a group of religious leader, so-called the council, Jewish council of those days, and he's introducing the gospel. He's introducing his experience with Jesus. And verse 2, the high priest Ananias commanded that those who stood by him to strike his mouth. Wow, that's actually quite a bit to get a slap from your senior pastor, or you get a slap from someone because he was preaching preaching God. You have to know something, that the biggest challenge with the religious leader was that Jesus made the Father so real. Jesus introduced a Father. That was one of their biggest challenges. You see, how can you be a man and say that you're equal with God? And God, Jesus introduced the Father, and he said, we are one with the Father, we can have a relationship with the Father. So it was quite a bit of a challenge to the Jewish when God and man can have a relationship and it can become an intimate relationship. They didn't really believe in that. So you see that Paul is being persecuted for the gospel's sake. Paul is being persecuted because he's bringing the gospel, he's bringing the new covenant into the picture. And the story picks up a little later that you see that there's two group of people being separated because there's two people that one believed in his resurrection and one did not believe in the resurrection. All right, Paul makes a statement and this division that happens. And then there's rose, you know, verse 10. Let's look at verse 10. When there rose a great dissension, and the commander, fearing lest Paul get torn into pieces. Man, that is an intense atmosphere to be at. All right, preaching the gospel. To be torn into pieces, commanded the soldier to go down and take him by force among the men and bring him into the barracks, and bring him into a place where the soldiers gather, because they were so afraid the crowd were coming against Paul and they might tear him down. And a little later, you look, the story picks up as well. There were about 40 men actually made a covenant. They made a promise, said, God, unless we see Paul dead, unless we kill dead, we have killed Paul, let God curse us. So I'm talking about this Paul in a situation. Paul is in a place of his life and ministry that is so intense. I don't know how to explain this, but to put it in a way that probably the spiritual warfare against his call, his life, and his mandate, and his purpose were all screaming and saying that you should be dead. So you see this intense level. This is not the Paul that are preaching at the synagogue and a couple of people are saying, hey, yeah, we received this news. This is a full-on rejection or full-on, oppression against what God was doing through Paul. So Paul is in a place of intense. His ministry is picking up, but it's picking up in a very opposition of what he was experiencing before when he was preaching the gospel now. It is a little different. And into the fact that people made a vow to God, like, I have to kill this man. So Paul is in that place, and now he's taken into a certain place. He's in a prison, so-called in a prison. But this time, the prison experience is so different than what he has been before, and is found in verse 11. The following night, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for you have testified of me in Jerusalem, so you also bear witness at Rome. Let me read this again. Verse 11. I want you to pay attention to every word of this scripture. When I was reading, I just was moved by the tenderness, the voice of our Lord Jesus towards Paul. He said, the following night, the Lord stood by him and said, the Lord did not just appear to him, but the Lord stood by Paul and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as you have witnessed for me in Jerusalem, so you also must bear witness at Rome. And this is very much relatable. I don't know. It's very much relatable with what we are going through. This is very much relatable to some of our last 2 years and so on. Things has been challenging as it looks like, you know, in terms of vision and purpose, in terms of our quest and our plans we had 2 years ago and so on and so forth. But you see, Paul is in a place that is taken by the soldier, and it's a place, some scholars suggest, that he was so discouraged. He was so discouraged. He was so moved by what was happening around, until the Lord had to show up to Paul and utter the words, be of good courage. Another instance I see these stories in the book of Joshua, chapter 1, verse 8, when Joshua was in the crossroad of transition between what has been with Moses is dead and gone, and Joshua stands in the transition. He says, when he was looking at Lord, what do I do now? God appeared to Joshua. Joshua means Yeshua. Joshua, he says, be of good cheer. Do not be afraid. Be of courage, for I am with you. And Paul has the same experience for what he's going to do the next part of his life. He needed this encounter, this encouragement from the Lord, this sort of supernatural courage that he need to hear from the Lord. He need to put on, he need to dwell so that he can move on to what God, he can do what God has called him to do. My friend, I want to let you know that today that the Lord wants to encourage you. That today the Lord wants you to know that you are not alone in this journey. Today Jesus wants you to know that like Paul, that you are not by yourself. Where you have to go, where God has planned for you, where God God has decided to take you, God wants you to know that He is with you. He be of good courage. Put on some encouragement. Put on some encouragement. Beautiful thing about Paul, later part, he writes to the Corinthians, you know, he writes to the Galatians, he says, no longer I will live, but Christ. No longer I will live, but Christ lives in me. He said, to know him, Philippians said, to know him, I had to make him known. In all this persecution, in all this doubt, and in time when he fell, you know, he was all alone in that place. I believe Paul chose to resolve in himself, resolve in the fact that God was with him and is with him. He chose to be courageous. He chose to be courageous. You know, courage is a choice. Courage is a decision we make. Again, when God came, God didn't say, Paul, you know, this is what's going to happen. You know, God didn't just, you know, give him any detail, but say, be of good courage. Encouragement. God encouraged Paul. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I feel like God wants you to put courage on this season, like Paul, to go on into what the next season God has for you. God wants you to choose courage. God wants you to be bold. God wants you to actually choose courage, which has great reward in this season, that you would not give up on the things that God has called you, that you will not lay down on the things that God has called you, that you will not look back on the things that you have been before and stop where God is taking you. When God spoke to Paul in that moment, God says, be of good courage. Now we have preached here, but there's a place that we need to go. You know, you also must bear witness to Rome. I don't know if you are in the Jerusalem and you know in your season of your life that you have done what God wants you to do, that you have, you know, you have lived in your season, that you know, and you know that, you know, I have done everything I can, you know, I'm a place I don't know what to do, I'm in a place that I don't know if I'm moving forward or if I should stay or what so on. I want to encourage you, God has already gone before you and prepare a Rome for you. God already prepared Rome for you. God already prepared the destiny for you. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, for no, before you were formed in your mother's womb, I knew you. God knew you. You know, I remember Pastor said this long time ago, before you were formed in your mother's womb, you were formed in God's mind. If you were formed in God's mind, no highs, there's no depths to it, there's no width to it, there's no height to it. You know, it's as deep, as stretch. If you are formed in God's mind, I want to let you know, God knows exactly where He's taking you for in your next season. Past has been hard. We don't see it. No, I mean, you see, where are we going? Where my life is? Doesn't seem like, you know, promising or passionate or whatever. But here's the good news. You might not feel it. You might not know it. But God is saying to you, be of a good courage, because I know exactly where you are going. Somebody say amen. Somebody say amen. So this morning, I want you to resolve your life. I want you to, you know, by choice say, Lord, I'm going to be courageous. Number one, when Paul was in that place of prison in the barrack, he's in the confinement, he was in the place. This time he couldn't lift up any praise like before. He couldn't see an angel open the door like how he did for Peter and so on and so forth. But he was just by himself. Maybe you thought, oh, I should have just listened to some other people. Remember previous scriptures, the believers said, Peter, don't go. They were weeping. Say, Paul, don't go, because if you go, you will die. Maybe he was thinking about all this. But this time, he heard the voice differently than the way he heard the voice in the last season. There was an angel that opened the door, but this time the door is still shut. But here's the deal. Jesus, the scripture says. Can you guys put that on? Verse 11 says, the following night, the master came and stood by him. Verse 11 says, the following night, the Lord came and stood by him and said, Paul, you have testified of me. You have testified of me. We might not know where we are going, church. It might not be very appealing in our life. I'm not saying we are clueless, we are blindly following. No, we are talking about in terms of the intensity of brokenness of this world and the darkness and so on. But here's the good news. We might not know, but the good news is next to you, and his voice matters more than anything else. I remember I was talking to a friend. I was asking her, where are you going here or there? She said this, which really touched my heart. She said, Johnny, I want to be where the voice of God is. See, in our life, we need to be where God wants us to be. We need to follow the Lord. We need to follow the voice of God. Or we need to follow what He's saying and doing at the moment. You know, how many of you know, God speaks in various ways at various times. You know, Hebrews chapter 1 says, the way God speaks to us sometimes is so different, so we cannot afford to miss what He's saying. Yes, you might have heard, you know, like previously, like the way He speaks. You know, when you read, open the Bible, you know, you just know everything, like God's watch is closed. But maybe this season you don't feel it. That doesn't mean He's not speaking to you. I want to suggest to you, God's first language is not English, Hebrews, or Greek. It is the language of the Spirit. God's first no language. I mean, hear my heart out. I'm not saying God doesn't speak in language. What I'm saying is God speaks in various ways. Watch out for a vision from the Lord, church. Watch out your dreams. Watch out from circumstances that you are in, that God's voice can be louder than the oppression. God's voice can be louder than the persecution. God's voice can be louder than your lack of zeal for God or whatever. God's voice still speaks through all that and able to reach your heart. Hallelujah. God is still speaking. His voice led Paul into places that he should be. If you want to fulfill the destiny of your life, if you want to fulfill the purpose of God in your life, if you want to see your life, your calling of God in your life, in your marriage, in your businesses, to go to a next level, or you know, to go to a place of an upgrade, then you need to hear what God is saying for you and for your family and for your church. But the biggest challenge is we're sometimes stuck in the old wine. We are stuck in the place we felt comfortable. Paul had no choice. You see, every man that God used, every community that God used, convenient was never their language. Convenient was never part of their life. Sometimes God allows us to be in inconvenient place so that He can reveal, you know, our purpose and our plan that He has for us. I'm not saying that you should look for your convenience all the time. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying God has gone before you. His voice has to be clearer than anything else. And He wants to speak to us. The voice of the Lord came. He stood by. What an encounter. Oh, I pray, Calvary City Church, as things are opening up, as things are moving, you know, as we are moving into a different dimension of community, we are dealing with challenges and fear and so on and so forth, that you will be found, that Jesus will be found in the midst of us, that we will still go after the Lord, say, Lord, you know, whatever it is, God, we just need Jesus. Choosing courage is so essential in this season. Sometimes choosing courage looks like, you know, it looks like hearing His voice. It also looks like, Lord, if you don't show up, our plan's gonna go, Lord, we're gonna flunk. Lord, if you, there's no option B, but it's only Jesus. We live in a culture. Do you know that actually there's more options for us in this generation than ever before? You know, when I was back in the States, you know, if I want to buy a shoe, you know, if I want to buy a shoe, I can just log into Converse website and I can design my own shoe. I have option what my shoes can look like. Here in Malaysia, we look at the menu, we tell them what we want, you know, what's in the menu, and then they get it for us. The more you say is whether you want it to be spicy or not. But, you know, in the Western world, we, you know, you actually can walk into a restaurant, you can say whatever you want, you can have it. We are in a generation, in a generation that's not so much option. But God, I believe God is looking. You know, we know God is looking. God is asking us to have this kind of this spirit that, you know, that there's no option B but just only God. Like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They resolve and say, even if God doesn't save us, even if I don't see it coming, even if I don't see it manifesting, I know, I have decided in my heart, I'm not going to bow my knees to the Pharaoh. I'm not going to bow my knees to discouragement. I'm not going to bow my knee to the things that God does not approve. We need to be resolved. Courage looks like resolve to not to have plan B. The term burning the bridge. The term burning the bridge comes from this very, it says, come from the army setting. When an army will go, when a soldiers will go for a war, what they will do is they will burn the bridges. They will burn the ships. They will burn everything that looks familiar. They will burn everything that took them to that season, that place. You know, they will burn it. Why? Because in going for a war, in going for a quest, sometimes what happens is the soldiers have tendency to be moved and go back to the ship and not go into the war. So they burn the bridge as a symbol that we are all in. We are going to see victory. We are going to go all in into this, and we're going to win some war. I don't know who I'm talking to this morning, but I feel the Lord is looking for a generation. God is looking for a people group. God is looking. God is asking us if we will be that person, you know, that will say, Lord, it's all you, Lord. It's all the gospel. I'm saying yes to you, to the work of the Lord, to coming back of the gathering of the saints. Lord, we don't know what, you know, how it has been, but one thing we need to do is to go after Jesus. God, I need you. That's the language. Lord, I need you in my life, in my family. Jesus, it is you or nothing. It has to be Jesus, it is you or nothing. I wonder how many bridges are there in our life that we're still holding on to, that God wants us to let go, because when you let go, you will see, you will experience a momentum of the Spirit into the things and the things and purpose God has for you in your life. Come on, somebody say, I am fully committed. Somebody say, I'm coming all in this season, not just to actually do life, but actually I'm all in to pursue Jesus like never before. I'm all in to serve the church. I'm all in to preach the gospel. I'm all in to see the kingdom of God being manifested through my life, in my life, in me and through me. Somebody say, I need you, God. Come on, somebody say, Lord, you need to show up in my life. Humility is what the way forward for the next season, church. Humility is what's going to bring us all into a place of promotion with the Lord. The scripture says in, I think, James chapter 4, you submit to the Lord. Resist the enemy. You know, humble yourself before the Lord. Humble yourself before the Lord, and he will lift you up in a due time. We need Jesus. We need you, Lord. We need your wisdom in the next season, God. The great lie sometimes we believe is that we are okay with plan B in our life. We are okay to have the mediocre which God did not approve. We are okay to have Ishmaels in our life. You know, the thing that God didn't approve, the thing that wasn't from God, human wisdom, worldly wisdom. So many of you are actually reading the news so much. Some of your language look like CNN, Fox News, TV Tiger, Astro. Your language looks like that. Do not be conformed, church. Do not be conformed to the language, to the thinking of the world. Why? The kingdom doesn't work the way the world works. In the kingdom, you are the light. In the kingdom, you are the salt. In the kingdom, this is the right time for God to move. Johnny, we don't understand. We are in SOP. We are in a place we cannot gather. Yes, I know. That's why it works better, because God always shows up in the impossible to show himself possible. Tony, you don't understand. Like, we don't feel it. It doesn't have to be, because when Moses was born, when the move of man of God was born, the whole world went into a havoc. Every firstborn were killed. Talk about Jesus. When Jesus was born, all hell was loose. They all were afraid. They were coming straight to kill the vision. They're coming straight to kill the zeal. They were coming straight to kill the passion. Why? The enemy knows if Jesus is born, if Moses is born, if you and I are born alive unto Christ, and we take up our mantle to expand the kingdom, the enemy knows if he can stop the church, he can stop what God wants to do through in the world. The enemy knows. So humility looks like, God, we need our strength. We have, Lord, we have left with this strength, but God, we need your strength. We doubt God. Does it, somehow plan has to be, Lord, if you don't come up, it's not going to work out. Humility. Humility. Lord, some of us, Lord, if you don't show up tomorrow, I don't know how, Lord. So my question is more today, where have you anchored your faith in the last season and this season? It's important, church. Our faith has to be in God. Paul's faith was not with the approval of man. When he preached, later part you see the kings and his wife, they came to see him preach. You know, and you even made fun of Paul. You know, the later part was 24 and 5. The king said, you almost persuaded me to convert to become a Christian. Paul's deliverance were not on all those men's. Paul, you know, the scripture says, some trust in chariots, some trust, you know, in horses. But our trust is in the name of the Lord. I want to suggest to you, when you trust the Lord, when you choose courage in this season to trust the Lord for what he has said in your life, what he has promised in your life, no matter what transition you have, don't create Ishmael, just wait in courage, wait in humility. I tell you, the Lord will come through for you. Amen. To have no option but only God, that is the place, book of Acts. They lived in a place like we need the Holy Spirit. I want to make some, you know, we have this glorious book, church. Glorious book of the Word of God. In the book of Acts, they had none. Probably just the whole Testament. And they had the leading of the Holy Spirit. The person of the Holy Spirit guiding them. If we want to see a move of God in our life, in our church, we want to see a deliverance in our life, in our city, we got to do what they did. They were so led by the Holy Spirit. There are no options but just the Lord. And how much more we have the Word of God. It should be more glorious than ever before. Choose courage today. For time's sake, number two, that your courage, when God says, be of good courage, it's not in some human ideas. It's not on your stock market. It's not on what people approve or leadership approve. Your courage is resolved in who He is and who He is and what He said to be. His faithfulness where we anchor our courage, church. It's nature. Courage is born when we anchor ourselves. We resolve to understand God and His nature, not only on the knowledge, but in experiential belief. And then when you believe who He is and what He said about you, I tell you, that's where you move into a supernatural courage. Our level of commitment and lifestyle to preach the gospel, it is not just dependent on a vision of the church. You know, it plays a part. But it very much has to do who you say God to be to your life. You know, who He is to you. And you know, that's what actually puts you on fire to preach the gospel. Somebody asked me, how do you sometimes preach to these guys? You know, I remember I was preaching to gunmen, back in the States, like, you know, people with gun. I say, I don't know. When I get there, something happens on me. I'm not bold until I'm scolding people. Actually, I feel the compassion of the Lord. And then one day the Holy Spirit revealed to me and He said, Johnny, you know why you feel compassion? Because you have experienced the God of compassion. You have experienced a God who had compassion on your weakness, on your downfall. He was compassionate towards you. That's why you can be compassionate towards others. For us to love others doesn't look like just saying I love you, but you need to experience love for itself. Some of you, you have a father that has abandoned you. You have mothers that's abandoned you. And oftentimes you project towards God that God has abandoned you back. And you ask God, please, you know, it's nothing wrong with that. But God is a father to you. He's a good father. You know, Psalms 27 verse 4 says, even if my father and my mother forsake me, the Lord will take care of me. It's important that you know who He is. What He said to be His nature is so kind. Our courage is not in what we do. I believe, you know, just not what we do, but who we think He is, what He has said about us. What He said about you is so important. For I have chosen you, says the Lord. Isaiah, I think 41 verse 9, 10, if I'm not wrong, it says, I have chosen you. Do not be afraid. I am your God. He's such a good God. He's kind and loving. He's forgiving and tender towards you. He's committed to you. He's a good father who is going to take care of you. That's what we need to resolve our courage. We need to hold on to that. That He is a good father. This is not a basic preaching. It is the fundamental. This is the way of life that Jesus came to reveal a father. And we get to experience that father every morning. His mercies are new. Doesn't matter how much you have messed up. His voice is not condemnation. His voice is acceptance. Every morning His grace are new. Every moment you get to experience God. Don't separate God from your family. Don't separate His presence from your wife. Don't separate His presence for your ministry, your business. God is in everything. You know, sometimes we put this unofficial list, God, family, ministry, and all. No, don't separate Him. He's in all. He is not. I love my family because I love. My love comes from my father. I love my neighbors because my love comes from my father. My love comes from my father. Knowing God is inviting. I believe God is inviting us to understand His nature in a deeper level. Not in a very, you know, sometimes when we talk about nature of God, we get so afraid, like I'm afraid and I'm a sinner. No, man, I tell you something, you are made righteous. Romans 5, read Romans 5, read Romans 6, read Romans 7, Romans 8. It all talks about how God is so interested in you knowing Him as a father. In order for us to know that, first you have to know that you are made righteous before the Father. Just as if you have never sinned. You are righteous, holy. Pastor, I don't feel it. You don't have to feel it, brother. The truth. That's the truth. You have access to the throne room of God. Hebrews 4, 6. Come boldly. You can come anytime. While you're having a coffee, you can have an encounter with Jesus. Say, Lord, I love you. Sometimes we look at encounter, you know, it's as if like, you know, a voice must come out. No, I believe and I feel the love of God. That's an encounter itself. Come on, don't keep Jesus in a place it's so far out to reach. He's everywhere. Know His nature. He's a loving Father. He's the provider. God is inviting you to trust. God is inviting you to trust who He said to be. I don't know who I'm talking to. I just feel like 35 years ago, the Lord promised to you about a ministry or whatsoever. I feel like there's something that He promised to. I want you to let you know, He is the same God. He's the same. He's not a God who was, but He's the same I am. He's the one who promised. He's the one who got into this. He will know how to exactly take you to next season. Don't be afraid. Be of good courage. Your quest is to just know Him as a father. Your quest is to not have any option but just keep going after Him. Finally, I want to end with this. With short time I have, every time when God wants us to do something, you look at Paul's life, whenever that he takes a bold step to preach the gospel, when he takes a bold step to do, you know, to expand the kingdom, you know, every time or most of the time you see resistance and the work is getting, you know, the word that God spoke get tested. So when you resolve to have courage in your life in this season, I want you to prepare. I want to prepare you, church, that you will be tested. You know, James chapter 1 says, you know, we all go through testing. We all go through produce perseverance. It produces character and so on and so forth. But testing is a way of God revealing to us what we believe in that moment. Because what you believe is who you are. No, if you want to know what you believe, see the way you behave. If you don't know how to behave, some of you get some of your good friends and ask them how you behave, because you know why? Oftentimes you believe, you behave, your attitude is conformed in your way of thinking. That's why the kingdom works different. Transformation of mind is so important. So you, our resolve will get tested. Your courage will be tested. Yes, you know, we might have our loved one lost in death. You know, when you're preaching about the gospel, healing of Jesus, you might have some healing need. But we all get tested. In that testing, we cannot change the message. In the time when we press and tested, we cannot change the message, because the word of God stays the same. His nature stays, stays the same. But it is us that get changed. When you feel weak, Paul was in a place when you feel weak, when he was feel misunderstood, when, you know, his scripture says in 23, 24, 25, you know, that I don't know who it is, but he put Paul 2 years in a jail without a trial. When you feel like overlooked, when you feel like not given opportunity, I want you to know that your testing is taking you to go deeper in your calling. That testing of that you go through is taking you higher in your calling. Your testing is taking you into a place a greater manifestation of what God has prepared for you and for you, for your family and your city. I believe Paul made up his mind and said, I'm not turning back. Either we make it here. You look at Corinthians, he said, like, neither death or life. Romans 8, he said, neither death or life. He made a resolve in his heart. In this time when I don't see, when I don't feel, when I am overlooked for 2 years, when I'm in my place that I don't get it what I'm supposed to, God is with me. Be of good courage. Be of good courage. I want to end with this. No matter how costly it is, that you got to choose Him. How costly it is, no option B, Lord. I'm burning all my bridges. I'm just saying yes to the call. I'm just saying yes to what you have called me to. That's, I would say, courage this season will look like, at all costs, choosing Him in the midst of the hardest season. There's no greater privilege. There's no greater privilege, my friend, than to preach Jesus. You can worship all day long in heaven, but to talk about Him right here, it is the greatest honor. And we need to choose courage to do it. And God wants to encourage you. I want to pray for you this morning. Father, I just thank you for everyone watching. I pray for, Lord, an encounter with your word, an encounter with the voice of the Lord. Like Paul, Lord, you said, be of good courage. You have preached, you have witnessed in Jerusalem, but I'm taking you to Rome. Bro, Father, I just pray, Father, there's such an anointing over their life to go to Rome. Such a courage, as they choose courage in this season, God. They will see everything that you have for them, and able to move in confidence, not in despair and confusion, in confidence, for God is with us. Bless, Father. I just pray for encounter with you, Lord. Thank you. Just take a moment, take 30 seconds. Where do you need actually courage in your life? I want you to ask the Lord for supernatural courage, boldness. Ask the Lord for boldness. Lord, I need boldness in my marriage. I need boldness, Lord, in my ministry. I need boldness over myself. Lord, I need boldness in hearing the voice of God. Some of you don't feel like hearing the voice of God. That's a lie from the pit of the hell. It's not true. God speaks. My sheep will hear my voice, says the Lord. You are His sheep. He's your shepherd. You will hear His voice. I pray for courage for the next season. It might not look, Lord, extravagantly powerful how it has been like, Lord, in the last season, but we know you are leading us. Give us heart to know you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.